I think it's like you can do everything, but you don't have to do everything at once. You know, I've been very fortunate. I've had a fulfilling career. I have kids. I have a husband and, you know, everything one could want. But it's like I've done all these things, but I haven't done them all at the same time. Mm-hmm. So I think it's great to just pursue your dreams, but you can do it one at a time. Everything doesn't have to happen at once. And that makes life fuller, I think.
My name is Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast. I am so excited to still be in Iceland, and I am getting to meet some of the coolest people. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Helga Valfels. I am a founding partner at a new fund called Crowberry Capital, and we're actually trying to fund the fund at the moment. So it's exciting times for us. I have been working as a venture capitalist since 2009. I've been working in the venture space since 1999. Before that, I did various things and love investing in technology because it's all about the creation of capital rather than the transfer of capital.
When did you first discover the world of investment?
I discovered the world of investment probably after I finished school. I graduated from university in the late 80s. A lot of people went into banking and things like that. I went to school in the States and moved back to Iceland and started working for a bank here. Wasn't really thrilled with banking, but sort of understood finance because I was very numerate. So I somehow ended up in finance. And then I went and did my MBA in the UK, worked for a big investment bank in the UK, and learned a lot about investing in that investment bank, but also realized that investment banking and banking was not for me.
And are you Icelandic?
I'm Icelandic, yeah.
Oh, cool. And what would you say is happening in the startup scene here, in especially in Reykjavik now?
There's a lot of growth in the sort of startup movement. And I think it's like all has to do with the financial crisis. I think after the financial crisis in 2008, a lot of people thought, you know, where do we create value? How do we build sustainable value for our economy? And people looked at the businesses that survived the financial crisis, and a lot of those businesses were businesses that were doing sort of really pure innovation plays and had deep technology sort of advantages, and those were the businesses that survived. And that's when people became really interested in creating something new, building something new, and building something for the future in the long term and looking towards the future.
When was it that you first became interested in technology?
Well, my father's an engineer, so I grew up with technology. He has a PhD in nuclear engineering, and whoa. I didn't get, I did not get Barbies. I got physics sets for my birthday present. So I was very much, and at school, I always did the sort of STEM type of things. And when I graduated from high school here in Iceland, I got the physics prize and the chemistry prize and all these prizes for, and maths and things like that. So I was always the girl that was like the only girl in the math group type of nerd. Then when I went to university, I went fully intending to do technology. And I remember I was accepted to MIT and Harvard, and I went to visit MIT, and my dad was all excited about me going to MIT. And I remember visiting Harvard and thinking the campus is so beautiful as opposed to, and because I did as well, I enjoyed aesthetic things as well. So I ended up doing my undergraduate degree at Harvard, which is something I don't regret. Really enjoyed it.
If you're about to tell me that your father was disappointed that you went to Harvard, I think he's the only parent on the planet that would be like, you only went to Harvard?
He's an engineer. No, I didn't mean that to sound cocky or anything like that. He was very happy for me, but he is an engineer and was an MIT graduate himself. So I think he was, and this is the sort of 80s, so there weren't that many women at MIT, so that, you know, there was a big push to get. And so, but I mean, my regret with university, though, is I started doing chemistry, and that was going to be my undergraduate degree. And then I felt that there, you know, and I really enjoyed chemistry, And but then, you know, everybody was doing something else. And I thought, oh, my God. And there weren't really role models.
Right.
What you did with a science or a technology degree.
Right.
And I remember thinking, God, if I do chemistry, I'm just going to be stuck with a test tube, like alone, totally. Living with like cats or something. And I don't know why. I just had this stereotype of that if I did followed what I was really interested in, I wouldn't really have a job where I worked with people. I don't know why. I mean, I was like young and stupid. So I ended up doing more economics and English and things like that. And so then after university, I sort of ended up coming back to Iceland, working in finance. And because I was good at maths, I thought, okay, I can do numbers. Yeah. I should work in finance. But finance wasn't that exciting. I think technology and creating something new. And also my grandfather was an entrepreneur. So I've always been really interested in people that create things.
Right.
And both my father and my grandfather were great role models for me. It's like science is important and building businesses and creating value is important. So I think that's what has taken me to where I am today.
Have you ever gone back to science? I mean, it's never too late.
No, exactly. And I think if I were to study something now, that's what I would do.
Yeah.
So, I think I just enjoy what I do because I think being an investor, you get to follow the sciences, you get to do a deep dive into a lot of technology businesses, but you also have the business side of it. You look at, you know, and I also enjoy business. So I think, you know, and so I think it's a nice combination. That's where I've ended up where I am today.
What would you say to someone who, like the younger version of yourself, starting school today, who has the same interest? How, because you very much enjoy your career today, and you said that you had wished that you also pursued this thing in tandem with it. So how would you suggest someone prepare their education who's in?
Well, I think, first of all, and this is, I mean, the younger versions of me, I have three children. So I consider that, you know, and I'm kind of very much encouraged them when they're thinking about, you know, my oldest is 19, my youngest is 9, thinking about their jobs.
Right.
It's like, do what you love.
Right.
And always, you know, if you enjoy something, do it. But also, I think just, you know, look, you know, you don't know what jobs are going to be in the future. But if you really do something that you enjoy and understand, you know, that you can choose your job, the job will not choose you.
And you say that you're raising funds for your fund now.
Yeah.
What's that mean? And how do you do that?
That means that we're talking to investors in Iceland that invest in funds. So we haven't really fundraised. We're not fundraising outside of Iceland, so we're talking to the pension fund community here and other high net worth individuals that want to invest in us, and then we will have hopefully have a fund that we can use to invest in other businesses. I've been working for the fund NSA Ventures since 2009, so that's a fund that is owned by the government of Iceland, and they've been and I've gotten a lot of experience working with them about how to invest in tech and things like that. And I've been CEO of NSA Ventures since 2010, so we've you know, and through NSA Ventures, we have a portfolio of 33 companies. I've gotten a lot of experience and exposure through those companies.
With your fund now, like, what was the inspiration? Like, why create a new fund?
I think NSA Ventures has been a very good fund and has done a lot of good investments. But I think the government strategy of how they support technology companies from Iceland is under review. And I think it's just part of like the maturing of the ecosystem here is the fact that there are independent funds that aren't dependent on the government. And so we want to take the experience that we've developed with NSA Ventures and put it into good use in new funds.
And there's so many people listening worldwide right now that are probably incredibly inspired by your story and would love to possibly intern with you. Do you ever have interns that can learn from you?
Yes, we have. We've had German interns in the past, and I think we would into the future. We'd be very, very happy to have interns. I think it would be fantastic. I think if anybody wants to come to Iceland and is interested in technology, we would always be very, very open-minded.
And it doesn't matter where in the world they are right now, right?
No, I think, you know, we're building global businesses from Iceland, and we're very much, we believe in one world. I've worked all over the world, which also makes me convinced that, you know, you can live anywhere and you can add value anywhere. So I've lived in the States, in the UK, in France, in West Africa. I've lived everywhere, love everywhere.
It's incredible. I have a couple more questions before we move on to that. If someone wants to pursue an internship opportunity, how can they reach out?
Just send me an email at helga@crowberrycapital.com.
And can you spell
Crowberry, yeah. Crowberry.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Before I let you go, I have to ask you two questions. One, what have you learned about achieving your dreams throughout your life?
I think, you know, as a woman, now I'm going to say that, is first of all, be yourself. and understand what you want and what you do. And also, I think, you know, I'm a woman in her 50s, hate to say this. I think it's like you can do everything, but you don't have to do everything at once. You know, I've been very fortunate. I've had a fulfilling career. I have kids. I have a husband. And, you know, everything one could want. But it's like I've done all these things, but I haven't done them all at the same time. Mm-hmm. So I think it's great to just pursue your dreams, but you can do it one at a time. Everything doesn't have to happen at once. And that makes life fuller, I think.
And how do you overcome challenges?
I've been very fortunate in my life. I don't feel I've had any challenges. I've seen people with real challenges. And I think, and that's when you kind of think how just are thankful for how fortunate you are. Mm-hmm. You know, I was grew up in a country where I got a good education. I was able to travel the world. And so I don't feel like I've had a lot of challenges or not sort of crucial challenges. I'm sure I will have challenges later on in my life, but I've just been really lucky and haven't had really big challenges. I think one thing that I did when I was in my 20s, I went and worked in West Africa for the Red Cross. And I think that put everything in perspective. And I think it was very, very interesting. And I think, you know, that's what I would really recommend people to do. Because every time I'm about to get stressed about some business or work situation or something like that, I just think nobody's starving, nobody's dying, nobody has an incurable disease. And I think working in West Africa also showed me, I learned so much from the people I was working with. It was the most wonderful group of people. And just, I went so far from my comfortable life here in Reykjavik and built a really nice life in Guinea, West Africa. I met so many lovely, lovely people, but I also met people with real challenges at the time. And that's kind of put things in perspective. And so I don't feel like I've had any major challenges in my life. And I'm very grateful. I'm just thankful.
Thank you so much for making time with the Women in Tech podcast. It's been incredible. If you want to connect with more inspiring women in tech, go to the Women in Tech Facebook group, which is womenintechvip.com. That's womenintechvip.com. Takes you straight there. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very, very much. I really enjoyed this.
This episode of the Women in Tech Show is powered by UpGuard. UpGuard's discovery engine brings visibility to complex IT environments, enabling teams to quickly identify risk, confirm compliance, and make business safer. They are proud supporters and employers of incredible women in tech. To be notified every time a new Women in Tech episode is released, simply text Women in Tech to 310-872-2423. That's 310-872-2423. To support the Women in Tech Show, it's super easy. All you need to do is start doing your Amazon shopping by clicking on this link first, womenintechshow.com/Amazon. That's womenintechshow.com/Amazon. The Women in Tech Show is hosted by Esprit Devora, edited by MKW Films, show notes provided by Carl Marty, music by Jay Huffman Live. The Women in Tech Show is a WeAreTech.fm production.